Acts chapter 13. I want to look at the first recorded words of the Apostle Paul. Now, of course, he was called Saul before he got saved and before God changed his name to Paul. And there are words that he spoke that's recorded in the Bible while he was still called Saul. But the first words that he spoke that's recorded in Scripture, we'll be reading today. I do not think it's an accident. For Paul was a man who knew what it was to experience God's grace. He was a religious man before he got saved. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He said, by the Holy Spirit, direction, as touching the law, blameless. He was a moral man, but he knew nothing about grace until the road on the way to Damascus when he met the Lord. I'll read several verses this morning. I feel like it's needed. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, now notice, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I have read several verses. Some of you probably wondered why. The reason Paul goes through the history of Israel, he talks about how God chose them and how he brought them out of Egypt, and all the good things that God did on their behalf through their history. And he's telling these religious Jews what God had done for them as a people. He talks about the good things that he has done, that God has done on their behalf. And it is as though he rises to a crescendo and mentions this simple phrase in verse 43. Continue in the grace of God. Paul is saying everything that God has done for us in the past is a demonstration of his grace, of his goodness. It is a revelation of God's grace. The thought of grace is so misunderstood in our day. There's some who speak of grace who obviously from the way they talk and what they teach or preach or believe, they know very little or nothing about grace. Here's Paul, who had been a religious but lost man. And he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. And the first message that's recorded starts at the beginning of Israel as far as them being in the land of Egypt and brings them up to the present day. And he magnifies one thing, the grace of God. If that's what Paul did, led by the Lord, how much more should that be true in our lives? How we should exalt the grace of God. When he spoke of grace to those people, he was speaking a foreign language. All they had known from their birth until that day was law, 10 commandments and more. A God who is handing out justice, a God who makes demands, a God who has requirements. It's all they had known. But now Paul introduces them to the grace of God. And his entire message leads to that one point of God's grace. Do you understand what God's grace is? I don't, I'll be honest. I want to know more. I suppose a feeble illustration would be this. You break into someone's house and rob them of valuable items. You're called and locked up. The time for your trial comes and you face the judge. To your dismay, the judge you stand before is the one who owned the house that you robbed. You're standing before the one you wronged. Well, now justice would be that judge throws the book at you because you deserve it. You did wrong, and justice would say, give him all the law will allow you to do. Some judges would do that. That's justice. That's us getting what we deserve. And as people who have sinned, we deserve justice from God. Another thing the judge could do is have mercy. Well, now you deserve punishment. You deserve to be locked up. But the judge may have mercy on you and say, I will not give you what you deserve. I will let you go free. Well, that's mercy. Not getting what we deserve. But let's say that judge goes further. And not just having mercy, but he has grace on you. And he says, I not only will pay your fine for you, I will pay that you owe, that you're definitely deserving. I will pay your fine. And when we leave here, I want you to go home with me. And I want you to take my spare house out back. And you live with me, and I'll provide for you the rest of your life. That is grace. We do not hope to get justice because we'll have to pay. And I'm glad there are times God extends mercy and he doesn't give us what we do deserve. But I am thankful that there are times that he gives us grace, that which we do not deserve. But further, he gives us what we do not merit. That's what grace is. Not only forgiving, but doing good and treating us right. The Old Testament thought of grace is kindness shown to an inferior by a superior. Someone superior does kindness to that one that is inferior. And that's exactly what God has done. The superior being of the universe doing good to inferior mankind. That's the Old Testament thought of grace. The first time we find the word grace in the Bible is in Genesis 6:8, where it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the superior God of heaven and earth, doing good to an inferior man who did not deserve it. That's what grace is all about. Doing good to someone who does not have the right to expect it. Doing good to someone who does not have the right to expect it. When we move to the New Testament, grace goes even further. It's the Greek word charis, which means to make a gift. To give something that someone does not deserve and cannot earn. We find that kind of thought in Jesus. He is grace personified. He is grace walking in shoe leather as he walked this earth 2,000 years ago. Grace was revealed in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke 2:40, and the child, speaking of Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Whoa, what it is to think about God's grace. Tom Hayes said, grace is any time God makes a move toward God. And I agree with Brother Tom. Someone has said that grace is when God does a work in the lives of wicked, weak, and worthless people. Gonna read that again. Grace is when God does a work in the lives of wicked, weak, and worthless people. Somebody has said that grace is God's unmerited favor. And I say amen to that. It's when God has been good to somebody who does not deserve it. Someone has said that grace, G-R-A-C-E, stands for God's righteousness at Christ's expense. And that's true. Oh, for the grace of God. what a wonder it is to be in the grace of God this morning, to experience it in our lives. Grace is the unconditional love of God to those who do not deserve it and cannot earn it. This morning I deserve hell, but I ain't going. I deserve to burn in the pit forever, but I ain't going to. And there's one reason, because of the good grace of God that's been shown to me. God's grace. God said to that man who used to be Saul, I've changed you now, boy. And your life will be a display of my grace, of what I can and what I will do in the life of somebody who will say yes to me. Could I say God's grace interrupts the satisfied? Saul was quite content in his religion. He was completely satisfied to do what he was doing and to be what he was. He was satisfied in being a Pharisee. He was content in keeping the law. And he was quite proud of both. He was satisfied. He was content. And by the way, so was I before I met grace. Before the Lord came in my life, I was satisfied in my sin. I wanted you Christians to leave me alone because I thought I was having fun. I was content where I was when I ever did accidentally. I use that word somewhat loosely because there is no accidents with God. But if there ever was a time that I heard about the Bible, or I heard about salvation, or I heard about Jesus, my reaction was, I don't want to hear that. Leave me alone. I was satisfied in my place. I was content to live as I please. But one day grace came and interrupted me, jumped right in the middle of my life and upset my apple cart. Grace paid a visit to the life of a lost sinner who was content and satisfied. Saul was a man who was content. Saul was a man who wanted to be left alone, but grace came and interrupted him. Grace came and invaded his life. Most of mankind see no reason for grace, see no need of help from God. After all, look at all that man has done. We have walked on the moon. We have sent vehicles to Mars. We can look at Mars on a little computer monitor. We have cured so many diseases. We have helped so many ills. We are so good to those who are lacking. We have all kinds of charities and all kinds of ways to help people who are in need. Why do I need grace? Why do I need God? Hey, most people are satisfied to where they're at. They do not see the need of God or His grace. They are content. They are satisfied where they're at. And they want to be left alone where they're at. Mankind has built structures that amaze and boggle the minds of bridges and buildings and structures that take so much technique and so much geometry and so much all this knowledge of the techniques and the technical know-how that man says, look what we have done. They see no need for change. They see no need for God. They see no need for grace. How could we possibly need any help? What have we done wrong, says the average person in this world? Why would I need grace? Why would I need God? Why would I need to change? Look what I'm doing. Look what I've done. Look at the churches throughout the world. Look at all the people doing good on behalf of religion and help and caring and love. Why do I need God? Why do I need grace? We have split the atom. We have discovered DNA. we have done so many great things, but I want to tell you something. None of that came from God's grace. It's just know-how, man's ingenuity, man's intellect. It has been God that has given it, don't misunderstand. But it was not His grace. And man still, and though even though they do not understand it, and most of them will not admit it, they need God's grace. Here's man. Here's a man or a woman, content where they are, satisfied with their condition. And right in the middle of their life, grace comes and interrupts their life and interrupts their thoughts. I'll say it again, that's where I was. I thought I was content, and the best I know I was, till grace came. And grace said, there's something missing, boy. There's something you're not getting. There's something you need. Grace came to the inferior from the superior and said, hey, I got something you need. He interrupted me in my life of sin and contentment. That's what the good grace of God will do. It'll interrupt those who are satisfied and those who are content. And all of a sudden, I was no longer satisfied. All of a sudden, I was no longer content. I had been quite happy in the sin I had. I was quite content in the life I was living. But that was apart from grace. But then grace came and jumped right in the middle of my life and interrupted my contentment and interrupted my satisfaction. And all of a sudden, those drugs didn't satisfy anymore. That sin didn't make me happy anymore. Grace hadn't made a visit. And that's what was making the difference. All of a sudden, this contented sinner was not so content anymore. This satisfied, lost person was not satisfied any longer. I realized something's missing. I realized something's wrong. And it was all because grace had come and interrupted my life. Right in the middle of my life, doing as I please, here comes grace. Grace to do that. Grace interrupts the satisfied. And if that wasn't bad enough, grace didn't just make me discontent, didn't somehow show me that what I was living in wasn't near as good as I thought, didn't just show me I wasn't near as happy as I thought I was. Grace went further. And grace showed me what I was. Paul, as Saul, thought he was all right. He says later, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, blameless. Considered in zeal, I'll tell you how far I went. I so followed the law, I persecuted and killed Christians of this foreign way that he thought was foreign. Paul, being Saul, was a man who was quite content with what he was and what he was doing. But grace came, and grace showed him what he was. And that's what happened to me. Hey, my mama had taught me that what I was doing was wrong, but that wasn't grace. My conscience was showing me what I was doing was wrong, but that wasn't grace. Hey, just reasonable thinking would tell you what I was doing was wrong, but that's not grace. Grace is when God moves on behalf of someone who needs help. And I want to tell you what grace did. Graves hurt my feelings. Graves told me who I was. Graves looked straight in my eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and he said, "You're wrong. You're a sinner. You are rotten. You are wicked. You are wretched. You're going to hell, and you deserve it." Kind of insulted me. Kind of hurt my feelings. But that's what grace will do. Grace will tell you the truth, even though it hurts. Could I say first, grace interrupts the satisfied. I was content, and so was Saul. But he interrupted me. Not only grace interrupts the satisfied, but grace insults the sinner. How do you think Saul took the facts when the good grace of God started showing him, "You think you're so good? I'll tell you how good you are. All your goodness will send you to hell. The best you can do is like filthy rags." The good grace of God doesn't mind insulting the sinner if that's what it takes, because he tells the truth about us. And that's what he did to me. He told me the truth. He interrupted me. All of a sudden, I was content. Another pill, another needle, another joint. I'm fine. All of a sudden, grace started working. All of a sudden, that just didn't work. All of a sudden, that stuff I had loved so much just wasn't fulfilling my desire. Just wasn't near as happy. He interrupted me, but he went further. He didn't just say what you're living in ain't making you happy. He said, grace said, "It's wrong. It's wrong." I'll be honest. I'd never seen it like that. Now, my mama had told me. My mama fussed at me. My aunts fussed at me. They knew where I was at. They fussed at me. But that's not grace. Until grace said it. My Sunday school teachers had told me it's wrong back when I was a little boy. My conscience had told me it's wrong all the way through the whole thing, but that wasn't grace. But I want to tell you something. When grace came and told me, "You're wrong," I said, "You know what? You're right. You're right." Hey, grace will insult the sinner because grace tells you the truth about what you are, where you're at, and where you're going. And it's true of every person who's ever breathed God's air. Man may build great things, may do wonderful things, may give to others in sacrificial ways, but that's not grace. Grace is when God comes and shows you what you are. Insults you if need be, because he's going to tell you the truth. Got a question. Has grace ever told you how rotten you are? Has grace ever visited your home? Grace ever invaded your heart? What we'll say is, "I think I'm a pretty good person." Grace ain't never come your way if you think that. The Holy Spirit hadn't come with grace in your life if you think you're okay. Because this book says we're all wretched. And the good grace of God will tell us the truth. We are wretched. We are wicked. We are vile. We deserve to go to hell. That's what grace will say. It may insult you, but it's the truth. Where's all the bad actions come from anyway? All the sin that's in this world, where does it come from? We say they got a good heart. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that our heart is wicked. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said it really. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts out of the heart. Grace will show you you're not just a pretty good person that does the best you can. Grace will show you you are wretched all the way to the core. That's quite insulting, to tell you the truth. That ain't what I like. I'll be honest, one of you tell me that, I'm not sure what my reaction will be. When my aunt told me, you do this to your mama one more time, I'm coming after you. I just kind of chuckled inside. When my mama wept because she knew my actions, sort of touched me, didn't bother me much. I didn't change a thing, didn't quit a thing. But I want to tell you something, when God came, when grace came and He said, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Boy, I took notice. You don't ignore grace. When the good Spirit of God comes and shows you who you really are. Saul said, my goodness, I never saw that before. And see, that's why lost people can hear preaching and not be touched. Because it takes God's grace to touch the heart. That's why me, as a young teenager, could go to Pine Grove and hear Brother Buddy Fox preach with the anointing of God and get up and chuckle and leave. But I want to tell you something. When I was 20, grace started paying me a visit. No preacher. I wasn't going to church. But there had been a seed planted in my heart, and grace started stirring that seed up. Grace started showing, hey, boy, you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, boy. Grace did that. It wasn't man's persuasion. It wasn't mama's tears. It wasn't my aunt's threats. It was the good grace of God. It was the Spirit of God coming to my life and showing me who I was and what I was and where I was going, what I deserved. Grace ever paid a visit to you? You ever been insulted by the good grace of God when He said, hey, take a good look at yourself. You're not near as good as you think. Grace invaded my life. And I said to myself, I'll quit some of this junk. And I'd do all right for a few hours. And then flesh would take over and I'd be back to a needle, back to a pill, back to a joint, back to my friends. But grace kept saying, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Grace said, remember that Bible your mama gave you years ago? The one that you opened, you thought, what a gift. You remember you left that at your mama's house? Grace said, boy, go get that Bible. And boy, I did. I went and got that Bible. Remember trying to read it and thought, I can't understand this. I can't understand this. But grace was working on me and grace was showing me I needed help. I heard about a friend of mine got saved. I didn't even understand exactly what that meant. But grace had shown me who I was, what I was. And grace was moving me, showing me. And I'd heard about my friend getting saved at Little White Baptist Church, surprisingly. One but about 2 miles from where I was living then, little old shack full of holes in the wall and the floor. And I went that Sunday morning to Little White Baptist Church. I'll be honest, I love Brother Bobby Walker, but I don't have any idea at all what he preached because grace is already preaching the message to me. And I sit there in that pew, and I'm telling you the truth, I sit right where Brother John's sitting right now, maybe a little bit further back. And grace came and looked me eyeball to eyeball and says, boy, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're a sinner. And then grace sat down beside me, started whispering in my ear, oh, you're going to hell. Oh, you're going to hell. I tell you the truth, scared me to death. Ain't nothing wrong being scared about going to hell. I tell you it ain't. And you know what? Seemed to me like, hey, I heard those words. Seemed like so loud.
I thought, surely somebody else has got to hear this. Surely somebody else hearing what I'm hearing. Didn't seem like they knew what was going on, because Grace was speaking to me. He's speaking to my heart. And I'll tell you the truth, he was saying some things that insulted me. He's saying some things I didn't want to hear, but it needed to. And Grace just kept on whispering in my ear, "You're lost. You're lost. You're lost." That was the good grace of God. That was God sending the Holy Spirit speaking to me and showing me. And even though it was insulting, he told me what I needed to hear. He was saying this, better get it. "You're broken and you can't fix yourself." Grace is God doing for someone what they cannot do themselves. And grace not only interrupted me and insulted me, but he went further. Grace just kept talking to me that morning. And self said, just get out. Get to the end of service and you'll be all right. Just determine more, you're going to change. You can do it. You hadn't really tried. Self said, "You can." And Grace said, "No, you can't either." Self said, "You really all right?" And Grace said, "No, you're not either." And Grace, sitting right there on the pew, Brother Bobby got through preaching, and he gave an altar call. And the friend that was standing beside me that had gotten saved left the pew and come to the altar. And it's like Grace said, "Look at her, I'm making it even easier for you to come." He's going, "Now, you just come on." Grace just kept saying, "I love you. I know who you are, but I love you." And Grace got me by the hand and said, "Will you please just come on? Will you please just come on? You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to stay in the life you're in. There's a better way." And Grace, it was as though he's pointing to the altar and saying, "If you'll just go meet him. If you'll just go meet him." See, Grace wasn't there to magnify itself. Grace was there to point me to the Lord, to the one who could help me. I've tried to say this morning. Grace interrupts the satisfied right in the middle of your life. He just comes and messes everything up. But grace not only interrupts the satisfied, he insults the sinners. He'll tell you exactly what the truth is, whether we like it or not. But could I say thirdly, grace introduces the Savior. I'll say it again. Grace wasn't there to magnify itself. Grace was to say it, "Come on. Come on, Rick. I've got somebody I want you to meet." And I'll be honest, I took that first step, and I believe Grace took me up in his arms and carried me the rest of the way. I don't remember anything but that first step. And it's like Grace just took me down to the altar, and he says, "I want you to meet somebody. I want you to be introduced to your Savior. I want to introduce you to Jesus. He died for you and rose again. And I just want to tell you, all that I've been doing in your life was because of him. And I brought you to this point to try and tell you he's what you need. He's the answer. He can help you." And that morning, March the 2nd, 1975, I got on my knees, and I promise you, I didn't know what to pray. But Grace said, "Just tell him you need him." And I said, "Oh, Lord, I need you." And I'll be honest, I don't know all the words, but I know my heart. And Grace had brought me there. It wasn't my mama's tears alone. You understand, she prayed. But it was not my mama. It wasn't because I knew I was hurting my mama that I went to that altar that morning. It wasn't even because I was tired of sin that I went. Grace had brought me and introduced me to the one who would forgive me. And you want to know what? I met the most darling person in the universe. And he forgave me. And all of my sin was washed away. It's gone. That's what happened to Saul. That's what happened to Rick. And it was all because of God's good grace. God doing good to someone who doesn't deserve it. God doing good to someone who can't pay them back. One thing to give a good gift, if you're rich, to one of your rich friends. You have a party, you're rich and your friend's rich, they got a birthday. Expensive gifts don't surprise anybody. They're sort of expected. Give them bedroom slippers, they'll get mad. Somebody with a lot, giving something to someone with a lot, ain't no big deal. But when someone who has everything gives something to someone who has nothing, it is a big deal. And the sweet God of heaven gives to those who will come to Him who have nothing to trade, nothing to bargain with. You don't come and say, if you'll forgive me, I'll do this and I'll do that. That's not grace, that's works, that's the law. Grace is when somebody who has everything gives to somebody who has nothing. And I want to tell you something. If you have never admitted to yourself that you are a wretched, rotten, hell-deserving sinner, grace has never come to your life. Because that's the first thing He deals with. And we never get help from a holy God until we admit our unworthiness and our sinfulness. But when we do, grace takes over and He forgives and He plants the Holy Spirit inside of those who have trusted Him. And the journey with grace doesn't stop at salvation. It just begins. I'm looking forward to telling us something about that maybe next week. But I want to ask you something. Do you know about God's grace? The fact that He did something, just Him, in your life. It begins when He shows us our true condition, in need of a Savior, heading to hell, deservingly heading to hell. Do you know for sure that there's been a work of grace done in your heart and life? Where He came and convicted you and showed you and you agreed you're a sinner. And He showed you the only way of forgiveness is Calvary. That's why He died. Grace sent Jesus to the cross. And in that moment of what we call, and the Bible calls, conviction, somewhere, may have been in church, may have been home, may have been in your car, but from your heart, when grace was moving, conviction was there, you called out to Him for forgiveness, for salvation, for cleansing. Has that happened? I want to tell you something. If that has happened, grace is still working in your life. And if it isn't working in your life, it's pretty sure that you don't have real salvation. If you're next, if your coffin's in town, already at the funeral home, your family will go and pick it out. It's already there. Your death is that close. If your life were to end before we go out, where would you go? Heaven or hell? I want to tell you something.
apart from the grace of God, we all will go to hell. Law will not get us to heaven. Doing good will not get us to heaven. Could I say this and I'll try and be quiet? Saul was one of the most moral men in Scripture, but he needed to be saved. Moral works, being good, is not grace and won't get you to heaven. Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Mindy, come, please. If you're here this morning, you know for sure you're saved. I wish I could get on ahead and touch a little bit more about grace for those that are saved. It's for a later time. But you may just need some grace right now, and you know that, and you want to come and pray about it. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about eternity, not sure about going to heaven, and this morning the Lord spoke into your heart, could I say it like I've been saying it? Grace has paid a visit in your mind and heart. He's calling you, wanting to introduce you to the Savior, to forgive you, cleanse you, change your life for the good. Please don't resist Him. Please don't say no. Will you come right now? Will you come? Father, please.